This is Walter Garrison, the host of Locavore, broadcast out of the studios of CFRU 93.3 FM, located in Guelph, Ontario. Today I'll be interviewing Patrick Connor from The Big Carrot. The Big Carrot is operated as a worker-owned cooperative and is a health food store that offers a one-stop shopping experience with a vegetarian deli, organic produce department, and a selection of frozen natural meat products. It has since grown to include 65 worker owners and functions as a true cooperative. The Big Carrot sells a number of products, including body care products, bread, bulk food products, cheese, grocery products, dairy, fridge and frozen, meat and fish, produce. They have a holistic dispensary, and they also include a vegetarian cafe, an organic juice bar, and sell literature and media. In the first part of our interview, Patrick describes the focus of The Big Carrot and how he became involved with the business, coming from a different background than the food industry and working his way to becoming a member owner. He discusses the demographic of the customers that The Big Carrot has, and he also talks about trying to source and supply locally grown and processed Ontario food products, of which there's an increasing demand for by The Big Carrot's clientele. So I'm talking with Patrick Connor from The Big Carrot. And Patrick, thank you for coming in to talk to us today about The Big Carrot. Can you describe the focus of your business?
The focus of The Big Carrot, we're a worker-owned co-op, but our main business is we're a natural and organic products retailer, a one-stop shop for all your organic needs.
How did you become involved with The Big Carrot?
I was working in the arts previous to this, and I had a very good year in the arts, but I found that I had difficulty in meeting some of my financial obligations, so I got a part-time job as a cashier at The Big Carrot, and I really fell in love with the place, and I found that they had such a great ethic in what they were selling and how they were selling it, that I basically started as a part-timer and ended up getting onto membership track, as they say, and now I am a worker owner.
Oh, okay. So it's owned by a number of people?
Yeah, we have a unique structure. It as a worker-owned co-op, we have 65 owners, which can lead to some very interesting members' meetings because we have to have consultation constantly and are always looking for consensus among our multitude of owners.
So all the shareholders are at one meeting is what you're telling me?
Yes. We're always in the same room every other Wednesday at 4 o'clock.
Okay. What is the demographic of your customers?
We have quite a wide demographic. I think we have kind of the salt of the earth, which would have been our kind of initial hippie customers. We're now in our 28th year of business. And so we have people from kind of the original movement, food movement, of looking for organic and healthy alternatives. But from that, it has grown to encompass a wide variety of cultural groups. I think because of the wide array of product that we can offer, there are people who are new Canadians who have come to Toronto and are looking for foodstuffs that they're used to finding at home and are finding it difficult perhaps to locate, and we do provide that for them.
How important is it to your customers that you are certified organic?
I think it is very important. Speaking personally, I think it's important, and I think for our customers, it really is a clear indication of our continuing effort to improve our operation and to improve our accountability to our customers.
Now, as far as the local food movement goes, because there is still a differentiation, I guess, between local and organic, although the gold standard, what somebody else was saying to me, was both together. How important is it to your customers that you have local produced foods in your store?
I think it's very important, and I certainly have seen in my relatively short time there, I've been with The Carrot just under 6 years. In that short time, I've seen a huge increase in expectation and demand from our customers that we are very much a place player in the local economy, particularly with in regards to food production. I think where we really benefit is we have an interesting dilemma in that we have grown to the point where our scale is such that it can be difficult for one farmer, say, for instance, to supply us with all of our needs for our very hungry clientele. So we have moved on to getting help from wholesalers and distributors. But one thing that I think is wonderfully unique about the Big Carrot is that we support new initiatives and people who are doing more artisanal work. So in other words, people who are making use of local product and then value adding to it. In other words, creating something from local product that then becomes a product that we can proudly sell on our shelf. So it might not be the raw material itself, but it is the fruit of their labors.
So can you describe, give a specific example of that and how you would support someone doing that?
That is a good challenging question to try to come up with an example off the top of
Would it be something like baked goods or something?
Baked goods would certainly be an example where if we're very pleased to find some of our suppliers who will source locally and begin to purchase flour from a local farmer. They will begin to look at various ingredients, very mindful of the transportation costs, trying to source locally to bring it into their bakery in order to create a locally based product.
So now, do your customers come in and demand this or ask to try and see if you can source these products?
I think it's a bit of we're in a constant wonderful neck and neck race with our customers. I think our membership is very discerning and extremely acutely critical in a positive way about us always pursuing the finest. Our byline at the Big Carrot is searching for nature's finest. And I think that the quality of having 60 owners helps us stay honest, it helps us stay accurate, and it helps us stay very much up to date with the latest developments. Then when you add, again, a very sophisticated clientele, their expectations are very high, and they are certainly not afraid to let us know if they think we are lacking in any element that they think is important in pursuing a healthy food choice.
I guess we should mention, where specifically are you located?
We are in Toronto. We're on the Danforth, close to Broadview and Danforth, right on the TTC subway.
Right, a very trendy area nowadays.
It has certainly grown. When the Big Carrot first opened in 1983, the Danforth was at that time still quite a strip of, it was old Highway 5 into town, so there were a lot of used car lots, there were a lot of mechanics and things like that, and it was a little drab, so it's been very interesting to see the explosion both of our Greek neighbors just to the east of us, but as well in the particular stretch of the Danforth we're on, there's been an incredible renaissance of small business that I think has just been an exciting model for all sorts of neighborhoods in Toronto.
Now, what percentage of locally grown, say, for example, Ontario-produced or Canadian-produced products do you carry?
Well, we're proud to feature over 50 Ontario organic farms, the work of those farms. But that does not even include a successful co-op, for example, like Organic Meadow, which in turn represents another 100 family farms. So we have quite an extensive reach.
Okay. And how does a new product get listed in your store? Is it as expensive for a new grower or processor to list their products in the Big Carrot?
It can be a little bit more complicated than perhaps they at first thought. We have extremely clear in-house standards that all of our suppliers have to meet. So consequently, we have to vet each product to ensure that no artificial preservatives, flavors, or colors, no artificial sweeteners, no genetically modified organisms, no highly refined conventional sugar is present in the products. Beyond that, it is important that manufacturers are ready to consistently supply this huge demand that we have.
In the next part of our interview, Patrick discusses the challenges that the Big Carrot faces, including the threat of GMOs in food products, and also the aspect of dealing with incredible growth and what they're going to do with that growth and how they might handle the increasing demands of their clientele. He also discusses the most significant successes for their operation and details some of the means by which they are trying to be an extremely sustainable operation. So, Patrick, what are the biggest challenges that the Big Carrot faces on a day-to-day basis?
Well, the challenges, like the makeup of our employment base, are varied and unique. But I would say that right now the one that is staring us directly in the face is the encroaching threat of genetically modified organisms, both through crops and now, of course, with the new development of the EnviroPig by the University of Guelph, also the GE salmon. Those are kind of big picture threats that I think the Big Carrot is very fortunate to have the resources to be able to invest in research and also take a bit more of an activist role to try and safeguard the organic sector for the future. That's kind of a philosophical issue that we grapple with frequently. Some of our immediate concerns are we're bursting at the seams. We were fortunate enough to expand 5 years ago to our present 13,000 square feet, but already the demand is exceeding our ability to fit it all into that large space.
Right. Have you thought, this is an important point because you see this all the time with businesses and growth, have you thought about other locations franchising out? Because the name, the Big Carrot, people know the name.
Yes, it's a constant discussion amongst membership. We like to think that the Big Carrot punches above its weight and that our reputation far exceeds what should be our real niche, if you know what I mean. But the difficulty we face is that although there is a desire among membership and certainly a huge demand amongst our clientele to expand or to replicate ourselves, it can be very difficult to achieve that consensus of direction among 65 people. So we do constantly talk about this issue, but it's at this point it's been difficult to figure out exactly what plan of attack we want to take. Is it something that we think, do we want to increase our footprint in our present location, which would mean taking over other storefronts in the Carrot Common, or would it mean getting a commissary kitchen so that we would be able to move some of our operations off-site? Or is it a sense of franchising so that we would open up model Big Carrots in various communities around Ontario, southern Ontario? Or do we want to look at an even different model of operating and perhaps starting up smaller operations in more of a neighborhood kind of feel? So those are some of the issues that we're trying to find our clarity on.
What have been the most significant successes that you've had in the last few years?
I have to say very proudly, it's the organic standard that we are now Canada's first retailer to be certified to the Canadian Organic Standard. In Canada, in order to be certified, it's not the actual product that is certified, but rather the facility where the product is made, manipulated, or created. So we have been very diligent and very thorough in getting various departments in our store certified organic, including our produce department, our bulk department, our organic juice bar, as well as our kitchen, deli, and bakery.
How do you incorporate sustainability on that point? Getting certified organic, how do you incorporate sustainability into your operation?
We do have an effort to, with each new innovation that we undertake, to examine as carefully as we can, and not being able to read the future, of the potential pitfalls or risks that we will incur as we adopt these new principles or these new initiatives. I think we've been quite successful in some of our initiatives as far as recently we had a waste audit conducted to see exactly where we stand as far as how much we're throwing out, how much we do sacrifice to the compost or the garbage man. I think we're quite proud to have some of our hot water heated through Bullfrog Power. Other initiatives, particularly when we undertook our renovation a few years ago, for really finding state-of-the-art energy-conscious appliances and lighting fixtures and things like that.
In the next part of our interview, Patrick discusses the difference between the words natural and organic, and how the word natural has really been usurped by those getting on a greenwashing type of program. And he discusses how organic standards and certification provide more clarity for the consumer. He also discusses how the Big Carrot is involved with other operations and other organizations in trying to encourage more made and processed in Canada food products. So consumers are constantly inundated with product claims of a food being natural or organic, containing specific phytochemicals, for example, antioxidants. How do you communicate the most important information about a food product to your customers?
We have a couple of different ways of approaching that. First of all, we have to inform ourselves as thoroughly as possible. So we have a standards committee that is looking at issues as they arise, and it depends on sometimes customers will raise concerns with us. Sometimes it's a new product with an ingredient that is a surprise to us that forces us to study something in a little bit more depth than we had thought at first necessary. To address the notion of natural versus organic, the Big Carrot is now in its 28th year, and it was in the title of our store is the Big Carrot Natural Food Market. And when that was created in 1983, there really wasn't this kind of very differentiation between organic and natural. Now, over the years, we've seen organic become a more independently accredited body or entity. And so consequently, natural has kind of been usurped, I think, by those who are interested in jumping on the greenwashing bandwagon.
Okay.
So that's a very difficult point for us, because even though we do espouse organic production and carry mostly organic products, we still have to live with the fact that we are called the natural food market. So there is a confusion in the consumer's mind, I think, about that. So we do try to promote our organic standards certification, so that helps hopefully give it a little bit more clarity in the understanding of the consumer.
Now, the local food movement, of course, in the last few years has mushroomed, and I'm wondering, do you think of a line of truly 100% made and processed in Canada food products with no imported ingredients can be produced and marketed successfully, because that sugar's got to come from somewhere?
Well, you raise a good point. It's sugar. It's also there are other commodity crops that we just cannot grow in Canada. So I think we have to temper our desire. I think where we're making strides is that we've been quite supportive of the Organic Council of Ontario, who I know is working very hard to recreate the processing facilities that we used to have in Canada before there was such a thing as organic or conventional or that kind of thing. Over the last several decades, we've seen a reduction in the processing facilities here in Canada, with the notion that, we'll just ship it raw to the States. The States will package it for us and send it back and charge a premium to us. I think we've been proactive in helping smaller organizations here in Canada to try and reverse that trend. And again, I think we should be confident that the products that we could confidently say 100% Canadian, we should be pursuing. But we also have to accept the fact that there will be certain things that we will have to be bringing in from abroad.
In the last part of our interview, Patrick discusses what the organic movement has done well and where it needs improvement. He also discusses the whole aspect of the cost of organic food and affordability for consumers. And he discusses two options, one involving economies of scale, and the other involving us asking why conventional food is so cheap and why it forms a lower percentage of our total expenditures as compared to 20 to 30 years ago. Okay, so in the last 10 years, what do you think the organic movement has done well?
I think the organic movement has, I think the integrity of the organic movement is its greatest asset, and the fact that it has been so rigorous in applying its own level of exactitude. That sounds a little bit over the top, but I feel that because organics was kind of shunted to the side by a conventional food processing and food growing world, that they were left to their own devices. And consequently, that allowed them to really examine what the ethic and integrity was of the creation of this particular brand or this particular notion of organic. And I think their pursuit of that and their self-policing is exemplary. And I think some of our larger agribusinesses and food corporations could actually take a great lesson from organics.
Now, what areas do you think that the organic movement needs to work on to do better at?
I'm a representative of the Non-GMO Project, which is a not-for-profit group that is looking to guarantee the right of free choice for consumers to choose the food that they want to eat, and if they to choose GMO avoidance. I think that although the organic standard precludes the use or inputs of genetically modified foodstuffs, I think that it has to be more stringent in its testing and more stringent in its reporting about the growing threat of contamination from genetically modified and genetically engineered crops and now livestock.
Now, organic food, certified organic food, can be costlier, I think, for the average consumer. And certainly, even though commodity prices have gone up, and you see that the gap between organic commodities and conventionally produced commodities is narrowing, still, when you go into a store, organically produced food is costlier in many respects. And sometimes even the farmer's market, you see that dramatically. What do you think can be done? This is a real conundrum where we can reconcile the notion of a grower or a processor getting a fair price for their product, and at the same time trying to make the food affordable so that someone who would like to eat more organic but is on a limited budget can actually do so.
There are a couple of options to look at. One is economy of scale, in that I think there's a certain business model that says that if we could grow the size of the sector, that that would in fact lead to a lower price point. But then again, we have to be careful that we don't emulate the huge corporations that are mass producing food, because I don't think that's a particularly healthy substitute. I think another thing to bear in mind is that the organic certified organic producers have to live up to such a high, rigorous standard of testing and reporting that that is going to add into their costs, which are then going to be reflected at the consumer level. What we try to do at the Big Carrot is acknowledge the fact that certain of our products are always going to carry a premium, but we're always looking to find the deal. We're always looking to find some of our products are always going to be priced well below what would be considered our conventional competition, and hopefully we'll find a way to balance it out. But to further that point, I've read recently statistics that say that compared to the way families spent money in the 1970s, compared to today, they're spending 20% less of their total budget on food. And it occurs to me that that is exactly the differential between the conventional price point and the organic price point. So when people ask me, why is organic food so expensive, my reply is now growing to be, why is the rest of the food so cheap? And I think that's a question we all need to examine, because we really need to examine the quality of food if we want it to have the quality to support the health and well-being of our communities.
I want to thank you, Patrick, for coming in. And I greatly appreciate your time, and I wish you continued success at the Big Carrot.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, there you have it. Patrick Connor of the Big Carrot talking about the worker-owned co-op that supplies a diversity of certified organic food products to their very demanding clientele, but people that are also very well educated and informed about organic food. And certainly, you look at the size of the co-op being one with 65 owners. It does make for interesting shareholder meetings, I'm sure. I guess the big issue that they face is growth and how they handle that, because of the increasing demands of people for certified organic food, for healthy food, and for local food. And the fact that they work with artisanal food producers and are continuing to search for the finest possible, both local and certified organic product, holds them in good stead for the future. Definitely, they are on the cutting edge with the way that they run their ownership of their operation. But certainly, that means there's a lot of diversity of opinion and ideas, and things get vetted very thoroughly before they get into the store. And I like the fact that he discusses how they respond to customer concerns so that they understand themselves, and then are able to communicate that to the customers about the ingredients that are in certain food products. And we still have this conundrum of food that, if it is certified organic, trying to achieve a fair price for the grower, and at the same time ensuring that high-quality certified organic food is affordable for their clientele. This is Walter Garrison, the host of Locavore, broadcast out of the studios of CFRU 93.3 FM, located in Guelph, Ontario. Thank you for listening, and remember, buy local.